All right. Well, today is Mother's Day. Luckily, I have one of those, so I'm able to speak about this. But spent a lot of time thinking about this week. If y'all don't know, I always do all of my thinking all week, and then I write it down on Saturday night. Keely's like, "What are you doing?" She said. I said, "Well, I grabbed my Bible and my pad," and she said, "Oh, never mind." It's like you get it. We talk about it all week. So my thoughts this week were about what does a mother mean to me? What does a mother mean in our lives? Not just to me, but in our lives. What is it? What is the stance or what is the job description of a mother? And how do we know? How can I know based on my mother what traits, you know, going forward, are put you in that godly category, as the Bible says, a godly woman? So I started to think about this, and I started thinking about my kids, because they're annoying, and you know that, and I tell you that every week now. So, like, you'll really think, like, man, he's got it rough around the house. But my kids, they love me a ton, and they tell me everything. We passed 17 houses yesterday that were being built, and Beckett wanted to stop and get my truck there. And I said, "Beckett, I'm not building that one." He said, "You're building that one." And I said, "I'm not building that one." And so they think I'm great. But it's when things go bad for them and when they fall, it's like I'll be here, hands out, and it's like this. And I think, man, why is that? Why do they seek their mother so much in that situation? So I started thinking about my life. And I had a rough upbringing. Boy, it was tough. It was tough. I don't want to go into all the details, but it was tough. We had, we always had mom. She was a real estate agent before. I don't know what her production was before she became a full-time mom. But before that, she was a real estate agent, and then she quit to be a full-time mom. Well, we didn't know and didn't even care what that meant. All we knew is mom was there every day. We ate spaghetti all the time. We had we always had the most fun. She really did go out of her way to make things more interesting and more fun for us by constantly pushing us towards things, making us play games when we didn't want to play games, making us stop fighting for some odd reason. I thought, man, there's no victory here. Nobody's won, Mom. You win. And now I understand it. Like I tell my kids, I win every fight. So good luck with that. So I started thinking about this, like what are the traits of a good mother? Because I was raised with Mom. So I know what Mom was, and I know what she did, and I know the things that she did. But now I have a chance and I get an opportunity to see on the top side of this, see what a godly mother is because of Keely. So Keely, when we were first married, she was new to basically everything, like everybody is. Nobody knows exactly what to do, but you gain this knowledge and this wisdom over time. So I started looking and I was thinking, what are the traits and what is the place of the mom? We know that you're the comforter. We know that whenever I'm crying, one time we were riding around this cul-de-sac when I was a kid, and I was riding my bike, and I was riding behind or in front of Jack, and I was new. I was fresh at this. Didn't really know what was going on, but I laid my bike over, and Jack ran his bike right over the top of my head. So Mom scoops me up. She runs in there. This is back in the phone on the wall days. So she sets me on the cabinet by the phone. She gets on the phone. "What do I need to do?" And they started asking her questions. She said I had a black tread mark across the top of my head. And it was like, well, he really got his head run over. And they ask all these questions about he was fine or whatever. And I'm just kicking my legs on the cabinet. And he was finally like, "Ma'am, if he's not acting strange, I think you could probably send him back outside." She was like, "Well, it's not different than normal strange, so I'm going to send him out there." So out I went, and so it was like, you know, but she was there, and she responded to whatever was going on, and she was there to pick me up and make sure things were okay. And I thought, man, that's great. Well, I just knew that moms were supposed to do that our whole lives. I didn't understand that a lot of times this is a learned trait. A lot of times this is not something that is instilled from generation to generation, because I've got family members, undisclosed, that their parents, by all accounts, were good parents, and then they suck as parents. And I'm like, what? I don't know what happened. You know, I don't understand. If you were loved on, why you don't love on your kids like you were loved on? And so it drives me crazy. So I started thinking about what are the traits. And so this is number one. I've got 4 points. Dad says don't go over three, but I couldn't stop at three. So I could have put two together, I guess, but it would have been a long point. But so the first one, which I feel is the, and I'm entitling this the enforcer, okay? That's what my mom was to me, the enforcer. But this, the first trait is they seek God first. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So whenever I think about what my mom did, and because it still drives me crazy, because every time I have a problem now, I go to her and I say, Mom, blah, 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 I'm a crybaby, blah, blah, blah. She says, have you prayed about it? And I'm like, God, Mom, every time, every single time, you need a stamp like at the bank. Like, just, did you pray about it? Did you ask God about it? So I thought, what is this? Why is this so important? So I was doing a little research about what happens to a baby when it's in the womb and the effects that reading to your baby, your unborn baby, has on your life. So there's this, and guys, you can go down the rabbit hole with this, but I started Googling this and I started trying to see, like, what, whenever, when it, there's got to be more to just being grown up in there, you know? There's got to be more than just hanging out 9 months in mama's belly getting big until she can't deal with it anymore and then coming out and doing your thing. There's got to be more to that. So they were talking about, and the things that I would find, it was said that your baby hears the stuff that's coming from outside at 10 decibels less than what you hear it. So basically it's like this. They can hear this. So they can't hear the clearness, but they hear rhythms and they hear sounds and they hear things. Well, the studies show that if you read to your unborn baby, and this was crazy to me, that when they come out, they're very quick. It says it accelerated the development of early language learning. And I thought, wow. So whenever I think about a mother's ability to enforce or a mother's ability to teach, it starts all the way at conception. It starts when the baby's, and that happens in 10 weeks after you're pregnant. In 10 weeks, your baby starts hearing things. Your ears start to develop, and you can start understanding things. There was a musician that was playing classical music, and when he was grown, he picked up and he looked at this sheet music, and he just started playing this off a side. And he didn't understand. Whoa, how did this happen? He didn't understand what was, how do I come from and being able to do this? Well, his mom was a celloist. And this was something, this was a piece that she played very often. And so it was so familiar in his mind because she played it while he was in the womb. And I thought, man, that is so surreal to think that I don't even know what learning is, but yet I'm still learning. And my mother started that. We didn't read to our kids very much. We played music. I mean, we played music loud. We did everything. I mean, we fought and screamed at each other, stuff like that, you know, make sure that they knew when they came out. And that's probably what happened to Beckett. But when they came out, they knew. They know your voice. And they know. And they said most of the time they can pick up who's who when they first come out. And it's like, man, this is incredible. So a mother that seeks the first thing, that if you're reading to your child, that's the first thing they're going to learn. Well, as a mother, that's the first thing they're going to teach you, is seeking first the kingdom of God. So whenever, every time my mom would say, did you pray about it? Did you ask God about it? It would drive me nuts because she knew I didn't. But she asked, and then I had to go back. I'm like, oh, well, you know, and then things start getting better. So that's your first introduction to that. So a mother is, you know, mothers are always going to be what you need them to be, but the biggest thing that mom was for me was she constantly put that back in my mind because I could see how she seek God. Even, you know, of course, Dad taught me all this stuff, right? Dad taught me to throw things off a roof when it's not working. He taught me to cut myself with a chainsaw. He taught me all the good stuff in life that I was going to use and use constantly. Now, if I was on a roof, things went bad, the first thing I'm going to do is throw the thing because it's not working anyways. It doesn't need to be up here with me. So Mom, Dad teaches me all these life lessons. Obviously, he teaches me more than that, but he teaches me all these life lessons. And then Mom, she always taught me. Dad was always preaching, but Mom was always teaching. I would always hear what Dad was saying, but I would feel what Mom was saying. I don't know what it was. It was different. It was like when Mom would say it, things would change. Oh, okay, Mom, I get that. And Dad, he would teach us, and he taught the lessons. So I started thinking about, how does that work? Dad, he said this all the time when I remember listening to him preach and stuff when we were kids, and he used to say how basically Dad sets the laws and Mom enforces the laws. So I started thinking about that. So my second point is Mom speaks faithfully, and she loves with godly wisdom. Because I could list, you know, there's plenty of things that we could list about our mothers and our wives that are mothers that they are. They're patient, kind, loving, you know, patient. You know, with my parents, they're patient. And Keely, she's very patient. But it's this part right here that made so much sense. And it says in Proverbs 31:26, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. To me, this was a huge lesson, because I'm like Peter in the Bible. I throw things off the roof. I kick holes in walls, or I throw fits. And it wasn't until my mother stepped in and told me, hey, that's enough, you know. It wasn't until, because if me and Dad got into a heated conversation, if Mom didn't show up, we don't know what it would have happened. But luckily, Mom was always close by. And I'm throwing magazines. We had this conversation the other day, and I'm going to tell on ourselves, but it is what it is. So we were having this conversation about a year and a half ago in the office, and we were talking about how I thought these things should go in design ways or whatever, something. And I got mad, and it got heated, and Mom didn't say anything. I was like, Mom, you're not doing your job. We're trying to figure something out. You're not saying anything. Finally, I threw a magazine. Dad ran out this way. I ran out that way. Mom just sat there. And I thought, this is the way it would be every single time if it wasn't for Mom's speaking kindness and whenever the wisdom that she gets from just watching us be dumb to tell us, hey, you're being dumb. My kids, they love this song that I make them listen to. It's called Green Lights, and it's a rapper, a Christian rapper named NF, and his name's Nate, but they call him NF. And it talks about how they would rather have somebody not puffing him up, but that checks him or that calls into things that you're doing wrong. He doesn't want people, and this is where I'm at a lot in my life, and this is the way I parent my kids. I don't want to tell you, hey, you're doing so great. You're doing so great. This is perfect. You know, I want to tell you what you're doing wrong. But moms, luckily, they gas you, but they're willing to check you, and that's why Mom is a enforcer. That's why Mom should be an enforcer. So trait two is speaking faithfully and speaking with godly wisdom that they gain over time. So number three, this is huge to me because number three is invest in beauty that lasts. So when I'm looking at a godly woman and I look at Mom and I look at Keely and I look at the people that are in my life that are godly people, these are the things I think of. First, they seek God first. They don't seek God after everything else is done. They start there. Then they speak faithfully into our lives, speaking godly wisdom and being kind of a person that we can go to that God, I honestly think God speaks to mothers different than he speaks to fathers because they have different answers. They see things differently. Me and Mom, we talk about perspective all the time because I always tell people like, hey, perception is reality, but really my perception, and you have a perception too, and it's different, but it's not until that mother has spoke to that she says things and it's like it makes sense. And I think it's godly wisdom given to her differently than I get. But number three is to invest in the beauty that lasts. Of course, we all know that whenever you marry your woman, she's a fox. And the world thinks that. And the world sees what you see. But as I get older, I'm less foxish, if that's a word. Yeah, it is now. Yeah, I'm less foxious. I can't even say it, but it's a bad thing. Like, my hair is going, this is going, everything's going. Like, hey, this all going in this direction. And the world may not see the same beauty in my wife or in my mother that I see, but it's because a godly woman doesn't invest into that. They invest into beauty that lasts. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel, and I love this. This is one of my favorite verses, and I'm going to use it on my girls constantly because this is something that we see so prevalently in schools and in socially in general. This says that the Lord doesn't see or look for the things the world does. He knows your heart. And to me, that speaks huge volumes. And so as a godly mother, I saw mom as she invested everything into us, everything into being a good Christian woman that we could look to. She knows that we think she is beautiful. Y'all saw the pictures on the Facebook. You know, everybody's like, oh my God, your mom's a model, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, what is it? We've known her our whole lives. I'm sorry you're just now seeing this. And when the world fails you and they don't see the beauty that you have, then what have you really invested in? I know people that spend 4 hours a day at the gym. And those same people, after spending 4 hours a day at the gym, still hate the way they look. And I'm like, why do you invest so much time into something that you'll never obtain? It's because they don't have, and I think that a lot of things can be boiled down to a strong mother in the house. If you don't have a mother that tells you that that's not important, if you don't have a mother that tells you, of course, health is important, but if you have a mother that's not telling you, like, man, invest and seek God first, invest in being godly, this other stuff doesn't really matter. Because eventually you're going to be 95 years old, you can't lift 400 pounds. Eventually you're going to be 80 years old and you can't walk to the other end of the house without breathing hard. It's coming. I know it's coming. I told Keely I'm not trying to run there, but it's coming, you know. But so in a godly woman invests in the beauty that matters. And the beauty that matters is what will last, is eternal love, is my love for God. Is if I put my time into, I watched my mother as she would get up early and she would read her Bible and she would write things. And this is so crazy to me because everything that mom did as a parent that I was able to see, and of course we didn't see everything, now I see Keely doing the same thing. And I don't know if mom told her this or what, probably not. It's probably something, I'm telling you, God talks to women different than he talks to me. But the other day I was walking through the house and I saw Keely's Bible. I got her this awesome women's Bible a couple years ago and she loves it and it's pretty and this, and it's got all the words in the Bible in it, blah, blah, blah. But we have these notepads laying around, and the other day I find this notepad, and of course it's not secret, so I start reading it, and she's searching the Bible, trying to figure out how to gain more patience with her kids, how to parent more godly, how to do things from God's perspective. And I thought, this is so surreal, because I remember finding mom's notebooks and seeing this, or opening her Bible and it's written in the margins. It's written on, and I think, my God, I'm a failure compared to that. That's what I thought. But what was so crazy is, I find this notepad, and we're going to visit some of Keely's family, and they're struggling. We got one daughter that has turned and isn't turning back, got another daughter that won't leave, then they've got another daughter that is just, the family is just always at wit's end. Well, I just so happened to have that notepad. I was using that notepad for something else, and I had it in the truck, or I had it in the van, and we went over there. And this woman, of course, they know that we're godly people, and I read the Bible, and they've seen us. Well, she was asking me all about her house, what she could do to possibly sell it, what I thought she needed to fix. We ended up in the bathroom looking at the toilet or whatever, And then we just sat there, and she said, Mike, I don't know what to do. And I thought, well, what are you talking about? She said, I don't know what to do next with my family. I feel like I don't have any, like, I feel like I've failed them. And I thought, my God, this woman, this grown woman is asking me who's got four possible failures. Our story hasn't been written yet, but she's asking me. And you know what I thought about? The notepad in the car. I said, hold on just a minute. I said, I've got something for you. And I talked to her about God and how, you know, if you'll seek God. It's crazy because I had basically the same conversation with her that I'm talking about this morning. I go to the car and I get this notepad and I bring it back to her. And I tear that piece of paper off and I said, listen, Keely's been asking the same questions that you're asking. She's been searching for the same solutions to the problems that you're having. They're all the same, and the Bible has things to fix that. I said, well, here you go. So we went on, and she cried, and I held her, and we talked, and I said, listen, things are going to be fine. Things have gotten a little better, but it's harder in practice than it is in theory. But so we get back in the car, though. Keely notices the notepad laying there. And she said, hey, what happened to this notepad? I said, well, I was in there talking to your aunt. I said, and she started asking me questions. And I said, this is how God works in your life because it's how it worked for me at times. I said, when she started asking questions, my mind went straight to your notepad. I said, I gave her that page. And of course, she was scared. She was like, I didn't want that shared. I said, well, that's too bad. It ain't coming back now. But I thought, my God, this story came to my mind, and it started to become so clear what a mother's place is in my life and what a mother's place has been in my life. See, God, Keely seeks God like mom seeks God. And we didn't pick, I don't know how me and Dad picked what we picked. We just got lucky, I think, you know. I picked Keely when she was 14, and she didn't pick me till she was 16 or something like that. I don't know if she picks me sometimes, but I tell them, I'm like, I don't know how I got so lucky. Because when I met Keely, she wasn't this. She didn't have an example like this. She didn't seek God. Her family didn't seek God. It wasn't a main staple in their lives. But yet now that's the way she is. Now she finds her answers and solutions. She goes to the Bible first, and then she asks me later. And I think, how did I get so lucky? And then you realize it's not luck. God had a plan. Just like I was born to these two, I found Keely. And sure, some of the time, we're off the rails like a crazy person. Like, it's just the way it is. And I love the fact that life can be so messed up and beautiful at the same time. It's just incredible to me. But there's so many parallels between the way mom seek God for our family and where we turned out. And so, honestly, I look to see what direction we're going in. And I think, you know, I know this is crazy right now, but at the end of this, I have an example. We're all three, you know, you can look and see. And of course, we all have our problems, but all three of us siblings are here, and our families are here, and our kids, they want to be here. And sorry, we showed up this morning a little early, so Keely wanted to go run and get a coffee, and sorry, just could not understand why we came to church and left. He said, and then so we went and got our coffee, and we came back, and he said, we're getting out this time. I said, we're getting out, man. We're going in. And I said, all right, all Beck can think is get in here and play the drums. All the kids can think is their cousins are coming, and we're about to have church, and they understand what church is. But that's not just my responsibility to put my family there. By mom seeking and dad seeking at when we were kids, it put us in this place. And now we're able to put our kids in that place because I have an example of how things can work in the direction they go in. But on to my fourth point, And this is the, to me, this just kind of sums it all up. But in Colossians 3 and 23, it says, whatever you do, do your work heartily for the Lord as opposed to for men. So my fourth point is serve the Lord. So, of course, I could harp on everything that mom has done for me. There's been countless things, obviously. But the biggest thing is there's never been a wavering moment that there was, that we didn't know. We always knew that at the end of the day that mom and dad were going to be serving God. I always knew that I could turn to mom and she would lead me that way. So when I think of a godly woman, now instead of just thinking about my mom, I get to think about Keely. I get to think about Cassie and Monica. I get to think about these people that are in our lives that I know personally. And it's all the same thing. And these are the things. One, they seek God first. Two, they faithfully speak God's wisdom and godly wisdom and kindness into people's lives. And then three, they invest in beauty that will last, long-term beauty, eternity beauty. And then four, they always serve God. See, I think that's the biggest thing in all of our lives is if we can take anything from the godly mothers in our lives, the godly grandmas, the godly aunts, whatever it may be, if you can take anything from that, is at the end of the day, we're going to serve God no matter what. I had this conversation with some kids the other day in our youth, and we were talking about how I wake up and I make my decision that I'm going to serve God all day, and then I don't have to worry about it. But the first thing I do is make that decision every single day that at the end of the day, I'm going to be a Christian. Well, I owe and attribute a lot of this to my mother because she did the very same thing with us. She wouldn't let us waver. I always wanted to do stupid things. My head and heart would run 1,000 miles in the wrong direction, but if it wasn't for my mom being there to enforce what God had put in her life for us, then I'd be lost. I know I'd be lost because I spent time lost. But if it wasn't for a praying mama and a daddy that wouldn't quit, there's no way I'd be standing here right now. There's no way I'd have four kids here, and there's no way I'd have them in church because I was as dark and as lost as anybody else. But on Mother's Day, it's one thing to remember is your mother never stops praying, your mother never quits, and your mother never will. My kids drive Keely crazy. I get texts daily. When are you going to be home? And I tell her, maybe later. She was like, if you could do it now, that'd be great. So my kids, they drive her crazy. But I watch as she sits there and the kids, her favorite times are when we're just at the house and the kids are running and jumping and they're jumping on us and they're fighting. They're calling us all kinds of names and we're wrestling. We're punching each other and all that stuff. I can see Keely at her favorite moments is right then. Because she knows those things aren't going to last. But this is what we're doing. This is our purpose. This is her purpose. She seeks God to help put it in those kids. She seeks God to help turn me around because I need more than just mom at a grown age. I can't. I'll run 1,000 miles the wrong way, but if it wasn't for godly women in my life, then I'd be lost.